We got the handouts there. We are in the book of Proverbs again. We've actually been in Proverbs, not steadily, but we've been in it for a couple years. It's just that we interject certain things with it. And over the course of the last month and a half, we've had a lot of special speakers. So last time we looked at it, we started looking at wisdom in our relationships. Wisdom in our relationships. I'll review just a little bit because it's been over a month since we had the first lesson, but you see it right there in the notes there. Jesus gave us the two greatest commandments. What are they? To love God, okay? The second one is to love others. He tells us that these two are very closely aligned with one another. We mentioned that life is filled with human relationships. We have relationships everywhere we go. That's just life. We have some that are deep-rooted, family and that type of thing. We have some that aren't so deep-rooted. They're not as close, acquaintances, people we work with, that type of thing. But some of the greatest blessings in life are to be found in the relationships that we have. And they're very, very, very important, particularly within the church. Now, you could also say on the other end, if we don't follow the principles that we're looking at over the next few weeks, that some of the biggest problems in life can be found in relationships. The choice is up to us. God didn't design it to be that way. Most breakups in a relationship, I'm not thinking of a guy-girl relationship necessarily, but any kind of breach in a relationship or it's not going well, you can usually trace it to some violation of some biblical principle somewhere. And so that's what we want to look at. So if relationships are important, how do we improve those? Well, there's two things, and I think they're in your notes. First, we grow in our faith, okay? The more we grow as a Christian, the more we'll learn of God's principles, the more we'll learn what God wants for us, and the better our relationships will be because we're becoming a better Christian. Then the next thing is learn biblical relationship principles. Just learning things in the Bible that talk to us about how do we get along with one another? How does that work? And that type of thing. Remember, God tells us we're supposed to love others, and God will never tell us to do something without making it possible for us to be able to do it. The very fact that God says we're to do something means that we can do it. So with all that in mind, we started looking at the relationship principles. We looked at two. We will not go over them. I will read them to you. We said, number one, never put off doing something for someone that deserves it when you have the means necessary to do it immediately. And you see the verse there. We said, number two, do all you can to have a good relationship with those whom you live by or you spend a lot of time with. And we looked at that last time. If you want to see that, if you want to hear that, listen to the, go to the internet and find it, okay? Let's start with some new ones here. Number three, leave a good impression with those whom you have contact with. Leave a good impression with those that you have that you have contact with. Look at the verses there. A little cold in here? Who's a little cold? Oscar? Well, that's your heart, okay? So nothing I can do about that, buddy. Sorry. Proverbs 10:7, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. It doesn't mean if you're just, you have a good memory. It's talking about what people remember about you. The memory of the just is blessed. People think about you. They think good thoughts. They think happy thoughts, all right? And in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. It used to be that what people thought about you was important. Not from a standpoint of a pride standpoint. That's not what I'm talking about. But people used to think if someone thought bad about you, there must be something you've done or a defect in our character that caused them to think bad about us. And so it was important what people thought. You know, back in the old days, they say, you know, like, they didn't have contracts. His handshake was as good as a contract. His word, what could be trusted. Because people had good names, and that was important to them. The best way to live and think of yourself and how you get along with others is to think in terms of legacy. That's what it's talking about, the first verse. The memory of the just is blessed, but those that are wicked, it's not. People think of them, and they don't have good things to think. And that's not how we want to be, particularly because of the fact that we are to be a testimony. And we represent not just ourselves, not just our family. Sometimes we tell our kids to behave themselves because, listen, you know, after all, you represent the Myers family. So make sure you behave yourself. Well, more than that, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. What will come to mind when someone, when you're gone from this earth, and someone thinks about you, what will come to mind? That's what we want to think about. What kind of impression will we leave for them? We want to be genuine, but we want to be genuine and have the kind of character and the kind of desire to be the best we can be, that when people think of us, that they think, you know what? That's a genuine person that's just trying to do the best they can. They're trustworthy. By the way, who you are will eventually come out. If you try to hide something, get you're involved with whatever. Do you know the Bible is true, and it says your sin will find you out. It will. There was a very well-known preacher. I won't give you his name, but back when I was going to Bible college many, many years ago, there was a couple of big-name preachers in this country, and he was one of them. He had been long tenured at a huge church at when he was there in the early days of his church. He had built it to one time was the biggest church in this country. And as he got older in years, he had been there for probably 30 years or so, he suddenly resigned his pastorate and he went to the mission field. Well, come to find out, when he came back for the mission field, I don't know if it was health reasons or whatever it was, but come to find out that girls in his church from years past started coming out. He did some very inappropriate things. And he confessed to it. He'd been hiding it all those years. And he gave not only himself a bad name, a horrible, not even a bad, that's horrible. But he gave the name of Christ a very bad name. The name of that church in that area, a very bad name. And so we can't hide when we're, you know, sometimes we try to hide things. What we are is going to come out. None of us are perfect, but we ought to strive to be the kind of person, when someone thinks of it, it's like, that person is trustworthy. That person has a little character. That person genuinely cares. And they're a genuine Christian. That's what we want to be. It doesn't mean we don't, we want to think about our legacy or what people think, and that should be important. Sometimes we need to be willing to even sacrifice. I heard a story about, how many of you ever had Heinz ketchup? They're really good on hot dogs, Duener Schnitzel. Okay, they're really good on hot dogs, but Heinz ketchup. Very well-known, huge company. The guy that started the company, his last name was Heinz. Before he started that particular company, he had started another company, and it did not go well. In fact, he accumulated, for that time, quite a bit of debt. And he eventually went bankrupt. When he started his new business, legally, he was not bound to pay off his previous debts because he had went bankrupt. But listen to this. He went to his creditors and he told them, I will pay you back. I don't want to be known as a man that doesn't pay his debts. And as his company got more successful, he went back and paid off every debt that had killed his first company. That's what you call character. He wanted to have a good name. And by the way, I believe he was a Christian gentleman. That's what we should do. We don't have people like that anymore. It irritates me. Sometimes I listen to the radio on the way into work, and there's this commercial, and every time I hear this commercial, my blood boils. It's about people that have accumulated credit card debt. And they use this little line in there. Don't let the credit card companies trick you into thinking you have to pay them back. I'm like, I mean, you did use their credit card, right? You did to trick you? How dare they trick you to make you believe you should pay back what you owe? How dare them? That's our society. Where's the loophole? It doesn't matter what my character level or what it says about me, but can I get away with it? It's more important who you are. And your character is very, very, very important. Your name should be a very, very pleasant thought when people think about it. I was a soldier in Alexander the Great's army, and he was constantly getting in trouble. And so one of the leaders there finally got frustrated with this guy, and he brought him to see Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great, if you know anything about history, he was not particularly the nicest guy in the world. And he called him in, and Alexander the Great said, "What's your name?" The guy said, "My name is Alexander." He said, "You either change your ways or you change your name," okay? He didn't want him ruining his name. Our name's a big deal. Not for big shot reasons. I'm just saying, we need to have a testimony. When someone hears your name, you know what should come to mind? A good thought. That person's trying to do the best. And as a Christian, that is very, very, very important. Think about the names in history that aren't very, very good. What do we think of when we think of Benedict Arnold? Traitor. By the way, do you know in the early days of America's war for independence that if it wasn't for him, we probably wouldn't have won our independence? But he became bitter about something and decided he'd become a traitor. Now his name is not good. Think of the Bible. Judas Iscariot. No one names their kid Judas unless they don't like him. Okay? You don't think of that name. You know, we think of names that are untasteful for us. What do you think of when you think of the name Hitler? Okay, what do you think of when you think of Charles Manson? You don't think of nice things. But when people think of our name, they ought to think at least this person is being sincere, trustworthy, and they have a good name. So do everything we can to have a good name. Number four. Okay, this one we all have violated at one time or another. Don't bring up things that can cause a conflict. Okay? Don't bring up things that can cause a conflict. Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirreth up strifes. Love covers all sin." Well, look at that first. Hatred, what does it do? It stirs up strife. It brings things into play that will cause conflict. We got to be very careful what we say. You start talking to someone sometimes and you notice that if you're getting on a certain subject, you ever talk to someone, you start talking a certain subject and it just seems like their level of starts to go up, if you know what I'm talking about. They start getting a little more, you know, tense. The voice starts to escalate. You notice maybe their face is turning red. That's a real good time to say that's not a subject to talk about. Okay? Instead of saying, "Aha, I got him. Let's pin him to the wall. Let's start this conflict." That's not what we're supposed to do. We have two options when it comes to talking to people. We can bring things up and agitate things. Sometimes we just don't like to let things go. We got to just go at it. If we do that, the Bible says technically we are filled with hatred. You ever meet someone like that? They like to, you know, stir the pot. It's like if you add dirt to water, eventually that dirt and that sediment is going to settle at the bottom. But what happens when you start to stir the water? Starts to come up, and it's all over the place. Some people are like that. They're really good at starting problems. By the way, that's a person to avoid. All right? I just speak my mind. No, you're a problem. And that's why we don't want to do that. Or we can let things go, and that's healing. Okay? Let things go. By the way, all of us learn things about people the closer we get to them, and we don't necessarily need to bring those things up. somebody did something one time or there was something that caused a conflict and you got over it. And then when things are okay, you have to kind of pick at it and you bring that thing up again, right? We shouldn't be bringing those things up. Let them go. Love covers it. Now, I'm not talking, when it says love covers, it doesn't mean you cover wrongdoing. If someone does something, they need to be called on the carpet for it. They need to be, you know, they need to be turned in for it. Turn them in. We're not talking about, we're just talking about the past. People get victory over things. It's very hard in a church setting. I was talking to a guy one time, and they were in our church, and they were in our church for a while, and then they started to have some issues, and they kind of worked through the issues, and they came back, and his concern was, you know, because people knew us so well, and they're going to know some of, you know, they're going to know we went through some hard times. And he used this phrase. He said, you know, he called it church warts. Wart, like a wart. Like, you know, people, when they get close to you, they start to see things they didn't see from a distance. And if we're not careful, we let that flavor how we interact with each other instead of letting it go, okay? How many of you in here are, honestly, you're perfect? I'm not even going to put my hand up on that, okay? I know I'm a lot closer than you, but no, okay. Well, nobody, if you're not perfect, then realize the person that you're talking about, they are not perfect also. Why don't you cut them slack like you would like to be cut some slack? Don't always bring things up. Let me give you a few concluding thoughts about this, about not getting involved in bringing up things that can cause conflict. You ready? I don't know if these are in your notes. Are they in your notes? Okay. It's okay to keep your mouth shut. Now, parents, I didn't say shut up. Okay. I think I said that in church the other day, and I try not to because some of the kids can't say that. We use the Bible word, refrain from speaking. But it's okay to keep your mouth shut. Do you know you don't always have to say something? Some people think it's their God-given right. Some people think it's their spiritual gift. I have the gift of just saying something. It's okay to be quiet. It's okay to, you know, keep your thoughts to yourself. Sometimes if you have something to say, it's a really good time not to say it, leave it in your mind. Don't say everything. You know, because we like to say it, don't we? We just feel better when we say something, right? It's like, I just got to say it. No, you don't. No one said you had to. Next. Before saying something, think what kind of response it will create. Or think of, I should have said. Think of what kind of response it will create. You know, it's like now I will say this. I'm not the type, and I don't believe that you shouldn't always, you know, sometimes something needs to be said, even if it is going to cause the wrong response. If some nonsense is going on, doesn't someone need to step up and say, excuse me? See, we, and this is another subject for another day. I just don't want to hurt someone's feelings. Can I just tell you something? Sometimes their feelings need to get hurt. Sometimes the truth has to be said, whether they like it or not, because our silence sometimes condones something that's not right. That's when you have to say something. If you've been in, people come up sometimes and say, well, you know, I was just going to do that. That's okay, right? And they'll actually ask you. They'll say it like that to you, and it's something that's wrong. They'll say, that's okay, right? Well, you know, you asked me. No, it's not okay. Well, if you just, I don't want to offend them. Well, you're going to let them merrily go off onto their, no. Sometimes we need to say something. But, you know, a lot of times there's things we just don't have to say. And we create problems because we open our mouth and we say something that really, we have to think, is this important enough that I really have to say it? If not, and it'll cause strife, let it go. Let it go. And sometimes there's timing involved. Maybe it's something that should be said, but now is not the right time. By the way, let me say this. When we are helping new people, and I hope you get it in your mind that's everybody's, that's one of the things we're trying to get across this whole year. It's everybody's responsibility to help somebody in the Lord. It really is. But can I just tell you something? Sometimes you have a new convert and they're not ready to hear it. I've had some of you that are in here, you in your early days when you were coming, and maybe you were a newer Christian, and you were in our Sunday school class, and there was things, and it's like, look, I didn't have a right to say it then. I didn't know you. You were a new Christian. You were going the right direction. But now, if somebody who I know real well is starting to do something, I'm going to say something, if they can take it. But sometimes they haven't grown to the point where they can take it. I use a story. John Castle, when he first came to our church, brand new guy. I knew he was saved. He loved God. And we're talking one time, and he's like, you know, yeah, I'm going to go to this thing. And I think he said, I'm going to go to Surfers Chapel tonight. Now, I don't think they're having a Bible study on the beach while they were surfing. I don't think that I would have a really easy time concentrating on Jesus or the Word of God if I'm around girls who are dressed for being at the beach. So there's something wrong with you. No, actually, I'm normal. Okay? And he was a new Christian. I wasn't going to say anything, but I just go, oh, okay. He told me later, he goes, man, I'm glad you know, at that time you didn't say anything because I may not have took it. He goes, but I saw the look on your face that was like, you know. All right, everybody exit to the right. But he said, I noticed a look on your face like you thought maybe that was a little bit weird. And it was. I mean, you know, Baywatch Bible studies, I'm not for that. But John wasn't ready for it. Now, if John were to come to me today and say, I'm going to Bikini Bible study, I'm like, brother, what is wrong with you? Can I go? Let's make sure this thing is okay. Okay, I want to make sure you have a chaperone just to be safe there. Yes. Okay, next. Okay, ready? Here's one. Don't pick at sore spots. Pick at sore. You know, kids do that, right? They have like a, they'll have a scab and it's like, they want to pick that thing off right away. Scabs are there to help heal. I don't know if you know that. You know, or something sore. You don't hit that. We do that sometimes. Somebody, we have a relationship, typically it's your spouse, but you have a relationship and you know certain things don't go over real well with them. And so whenever you're feeling the mood, that's where you attack, right? That's, you know, say that's their Achilles heel. You know, it's like, I like hockey. When guys get injured in hockey, they never tell, the team says he's out and they never tell where the injury is. It's like it's an upper body injury. What does that mean? From here on up. You know why? Because when the guy does play, you know how guys are. It's like if he's sore, that's, I'm going to hit the sore spot. That's where I'm going to get him. I'm going to make it hurt. Okay? And so that's what we're talking about. Don't pick at those sore spots. That makes things worse. All right, number five. Okay, this is really the crux of everything. Realize that arguments are the result. Ultimately, if you boil it down to its lowest common denominator, arguments are the result of being proud. Ouch. Proverbs 13:10. What does it say there? Only by what? Pride. Only by pride cometh what? Contention. What is contention? That's fight. It's on. Well, where does the contention come from? Pride. Only by pride. Do you know people have fought about the silliest little things? In 1731, there was a British ship, and it was boarded by the Spaniards. The Spaniards thought that the ship was concealing and doing some illegal business, which the ship wasn't. It was a British naval ship. They thought maybe they were doing something they should be, so they boarded the ship to check it out. Well, the captains got in a little bit of a conflict over this, and the Spanish captain took his sword out and swung at the British captain and cut his ear off. Finally, they were all calmed down and everybody went home. When they got home, the British people were appalled that the Spanish captain actually had the gall to cut off the captain's ear. And it started a war that lasted for several years and killed thousands of people. The war was called the War of Jenkins' Ear. That's the official title. They fought because somebody's ear got cut off. Now, I'm not saying we should cut people's ears off, although some people may be. But that led to the deaths of thousands of men because of a misunderstanding and a conflict. What does James say? Look at the verses there in James. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Where do they come from? Where does it all start? Come they not hence even of your lust, your desires, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Not all really is our desires. It's pride. It's what we want. We're right. Okay, I want this. You don't want to give it to me. It's on. Pride. I think all of us could think to a time maybe we've gotten involved in an argument or a scuffle or whatever, and it was in ultimate, what you say, well, what was it over? It was over nonsense because we have pride. The quick answer is pride. Do you know why Satan was thrown out of heaven? Pride. I will be like the Most High. I'm going to ascend. Pride. Do you know why ultimately Adam and Eve sinned? They were tricked by Satan. No. Satan tricked them all right. Satan, laid it out there for them. But what did he lay out there for them? Pride. You'll be gods, and you'll decide what is right and wrong for your life. You will be in charge. You'll be the decision maker. That is pride. It's one of the best tools in Satan's arsenal. 1 John 2:6. For all that is in the world, we talk about the world a lot. The lust of the flesh, yeah, we got that. The lust of the eyes, that's bad. And what's the last one? And the pride of life. Pride. We argue because we ultimately think we're right. You say, I know, but I was right. Okay? But it's pride that gets in our way and causes all these different things. We want our way. It's all about us. If we think about it, sometimes if we just, one person will just stop, the argument will stop. One person will just back away for a little bit. When everybody comes to their heads, everything should be fine. By the way, when you have a disagreement, what should be the purpose of it? The purpose of it should be to come to a conclusion, right? It's two competing thoughts, two competing ideals. So you should discuss it and try to come to a thing. But we allow our pride to come in, then it becomes a fight and an argument. And then ultimately what almost always happens, it goes down to the level where we're no longer trying to come to an agreement. We start personally attacking each other. Okay? Here's how it goes. Well, I think we should do this. The other person says, well, I think we should do this. The other person says, well, you're an idiot. You see that jump? It's like, we stopped discussing it. Now we're just going to attack each other. Well, you're dumb. Well, thank you for that. You married me, so what does that say about you? Okay. We stop trying to fix what we were talking about, and we start personally attacking each other. Why? Because it's pride, and I've got to be right, and I've got to be the one. And so we got to be very, very careful. We put our heels in. So what should we do? Look at Philippians chapter 2 there. Paul, in a ministry sense, but really this could apply to anything, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. That doesn't mean you guys both drive a Honda, all right? Of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than ourselves. He gives us a couple thoughts that'll help us to get through this. First, he tells us to try to be on the same page. Try to be on the same page. Well, what are you trying to do? You're trying to come to a conclusion about something. Okay? So instead of the personal attacks, instead of the pride, sometimes we've got to think, let's be on the same page. By the way, a lot of conflicts people have, particularly couples, early on especially, is because they've never come to a conclusion how they don't even know what the other person thinks about a certain something. You think about all the important things that you have to agree on. You gotta have the same mindset. How are we going to raise our children? What are the principles for that? How do we react in these situations? What are our thoughts about money? How we handle money? If you know all that up front and you're on the same page about it, that's going to take out a lot of, but most couples, they, oh, she's pretty and he's handsome and he's got muscles and yada, yada. And now we're married. And it's like, we don't even agree on the basics. By the way, when you don't agree on the basics, I don't know how, I don't care how beautiful she is, she starts to look really ugly. And so does he. Because no matter how beautiful they are, man, if it's always yakety, yakety, yakety back and forth, there's a lot of ugliness there. They should have thought about these things. See how we do it in our society, relationships are physical, emotional, and then they become mental. Did you catch that? Physical. She's pretty, I'm pretty, let's kiss. Well, whatever. Then it's emotional. Now our hearts are attached. And then we get married or we get together and we hope that the mental works out. Yeah, there's a lot of mental going on there, but it's the wrong kind of mental. Okay? God's way is flipped. It's mental. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean you grab someone you'd think it doesn't look very attractive, all right? Okay? That's the first time. Like, wow, you know, he's okay, that's good. Now, let's get past that and let's get on to where we should be. So it's the mental. Then what happens? We're in agreement. We have the same goals. We have the same desires. We both love the Lord. We're both going the same direction. Then we start allowing our emotions to come into play, and then you get married, and you get the physical later. But we don't know each other, and so these fights are, look, if we were just on the same page up front, a lot of those things are going to go away. So be on the same page. Next, put the other person first. That's a hard one. Put the other person first. Next, give some space to think it through. Sometimes, you know, you're not going to get to that point. You're going to, it's happening. It is on. It's like, you know what? Let's just clear out right now. See, once the emotions get involved and it goes from I think we should do this until you're a doofus, that type of that, that's a big jump right there. It's time to like, let's just back off, and this isn't the time to talk about this. You know, bring it up some other time when everybody's in a good mood and we can talk about it logically. And then here's something, and I read a really good story. Never forget the value of the other person. Sometimes even when you're irritated with each other and you step away, you ought to think, but that's still a very important person to me. And you get over it real quick. I read this story. I got some internet story I got was emailed to me. This man went home for Thanksgiving. At the Thanksgiving meal, mom and dad got into it. And it was pretty heated. And so they both got up and left the table. Went to another room. So the son was very, you know, like, man, what's going on here? So he goes into the room his dad went into. And his dad's sitting there on the computer. He thought that was kind of odd. And he's like, what is he doing? You know, is he booking a ticket to get out of here or something? He goes over there and he asks his dad what he's doing. And he said, come here, son. And he went behind the computer and looked. His dad had opened a document. And he goes, you know, I write these out. And the document was titled Why, and it had the wife's name. I forget what her name is. Why so-and-so is important to me. And he had all these things he had written nice about her. He goes, whenever I get mad at your mom, he goes, I come in here, and I start reading this thing, and I remember just how important she is to me, and it helps me get over it. You say, I would do that, but I'd only have two lines on there, right? And ladies, you try to write one by your husband, it'll just be a blank sheet of paper, so don't even worry about it. What's the point? The point he was saying is, yes, I'm mad at your mom. Yes, I'm irritated at her. Yes, we just went at it. But I'm over here remembering that, you know what? She's a pretty good lady, and this is just something that happened. Understand the value of the other person, and maybe we'll let it go. Let's pray, and we'll be done. We're